broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Cosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news that efforts refused to use, no doubt, continues now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for August 25th in the year of our Lord, 2016. Our goal always, to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. It's incredibly simple. We use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. That's the blueprint, ladies and gentlemen. We believe the checks and balances put in place by our founders at the expense of blood and more, the key to the solution. That's why we don't need a revolution, but a restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth certainly is worth the prize. That is liberty. Welcome to the broadcast. Kirk Cosby's with me. Hello, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
You betcha Pete Sapp, ladies and gentlemen, is with us. National Taxpayers Union, NTU.org. Welcome back, Pete.
Always great to be here.
Now, I know you don't pick sides in partisan politics because you guys are the NTU and you just stand for liberty and working to lower taxes and everything else, but the scandal on Hillary has reached proportions to where you just cannot ignore the elephant in the room. And her scandal, we're getting more and more evidence about pay-to-play, more and more evidence about criminal activity. She clearly perjured herself before Congress. We got serious, serious problems. You are in Washington, basically, daily. What do you get from the ground? Is this going to have wings, or is this just going to be a flash in the pan and Hillary's fine?
Well, it's difficult for the Clinton campaign to put the spin that it's only the right-wing media hounding them on this issue when it was the Associated Press that broke the most recent story on the fact that many of the visitors she was receiving who were not official heads of state happened to be contributors to the Clinton Foundation. And so this is getting more and more difficult to simply sweep away or for the campaign to just chalk up to partisan politics. I think this does have the potential for damage. And the next possible link that could be established, and I am not saying it will be, but there would likely be some who would begin asking questions of, well, were there Department of State or USAID contracts involving tax dollars that might have been arranged through some of these visits or contacts. That's happened in the past in other administrations, and so we have to wonder.
You know, I've mentioned what needs to happen next. You know, the mainstream press, USA Today, wrote an article saying, look, we do know there was access granted and money exchange, but that doesn't necessarily prove special favors. You know what? I might agree with that. However, what I would say, though, is we're just talking about so far a judicial watch with a crowbar and a few news people that are intrepid to tell the tale. Believe it or not, the Associated Press gets a little bit of a kudos. They've been battling the stonewalling for 3 years on this alone. So you got to give credit where credit's due. But the reason that I say this is because the next step is to say, we know that Hillary lied to Congress. We know that she perjured herself. She said that, you know what, her attorney went through all the emails. He didn't. She said that, you know what, I didn't do this, right, that, or, okay, it isn't true. And so she perjured herself in about three different ways that we can document. The next step is for Congress to say, you know what, that alone, lying to Congress is not acceptable. You know what? It's not like someone's lying about sex and they're embarrassed or something. This is literally national security issues at stake here, at the least potentially so. And with that in mind, then, you would say, you know what? We're going to hold Hillary in contempt of Congress. 218 Republicans could get that done. You got a couple of dozen more than that in terms of the majority, but yet you could even have several Republicans fail us and a couple of Democrats stand up for freedom. There will be. And you could have 218 say, we're going to hold you in contempt of Congress. We're going to impanel a grand jury with subpoena power, and we're going to simply get to the bottom of this. Isn't that the way to go next?
Well, that is one course, and I actually think that's happening right now or under consideration in a number of leadership quarters in Congress, a couple of committees, too. Obviously, I think that there's at least one committee in Congress that's considering perjury charges against Hillary Clinton. How far those will go, hard to know. And I think that we have to be very careful here, very scrupulous, not to make unfounded accusations. I still think that we have yet to explore, for example, the fact that there was not really a permanent inspector general at the Department of State when Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State. That matters to taxpayers because a lot of money might have gotten spent improperly. And we've not really gotten enough answers about what might have happened there.
Yeah, and that's why I say, you know, a lot of people are saying, you know what, let's call for Hillary's head, let's do this, let's do that. There's a lot of, in my opinion, very irresponsible statements being made. And I get the frustration, I do. But that's why I kind of say, look, let's go about it with the law on our side. Let's use the check and balance of the three branches of government to create accountability. Congress should say this is a problem. Where does this lead? Let's get to the bottom of it. That's why we need a grand jury with subpoena power. Literally, we need to follow the law and make sure that we are not as guilty as she is by violating the law. And that's where we start. And that's why I say, hey, look, let's put it in the hands of the biggest body of government, which is the legislative, the biggest branch of that, the House, where it starts. And you know what? Say, do the people want an investigation and the truth here? And if they do, let them mirror that to the members of Congress and let's get it done. That's the most responsible way to go about the methodic efforts to find out the truth and then create accountability for what the truth really is. Isn't that the most fair-minded way we can go?
Yes, it absolutely is. No matter who it is, no matter how high an office they hold, they are not immune from the law, but neither are they guilty automatically. They are presumed innocent.
And I agree that Hillary is presumed innocent, except for, you know what, when she lied before Congress, though, she's not innocent on that anymore. We have the facts. She flat out lied to Congress.
Yeah, that seems pretty clear. And even mainstream and left-of-center media outlets are willing to acknowledge that, that was not accurate. She did not make accurate statements. And the FBI director essentially came out and said that as well.
And that's why I say I think that we can take that to the bank and say that alone, though, is worth opening up an investigation. When she lies to that degree to Congress, you've got to say, you know what? Where there's smoke, there's fire. We don't know what we're going to find, but it absolutely is justification beyond a doubt. It's not political in nature in any way. Beyond a doubt, but we need to find out what went on here because, look, this potentially could have national security written all over it, couldn't it?
Yes, and as I mentioned, fiscal policy issues as well. There was an excellent article, in fact, last year in National Review about how Clinton's State Department was essentially toothless when it came to oversight because, again, there was no Senate-confirmed permanent inspector general in place during any part of Hillary Clinton's tenure at the State Department. Oversight is a key check and balance against any appointed official of Hillary Clinton's level, and a permanent inspector general within the department can help to do that. Didn't exist at her tenure.
National Review, I just found the article. One of the things that nobody else is saying, that I've been saying, Pete Sepp, that I think is critical to understand here, is, you know, we can blame Hillary all day, and we should. But the real issue on this, in my mind, is, look, this is under Barack Obama's watch. And Barack Obama is not distancing himself from it or saying, you know what, I don't support this, this is wrong, too. He's literally doubling down and working to elect Hillary Clinton. And at some point, you got to say, where does the White House have accountability? You can't just blame it on the underlings, can you?
No, certainly not. And of course, that always raises a very, very long-standing issue. I mean, this goes well back before Barack Obama and into the George W. Bush administration, Republicans and Democrats. How far does a president, a sitting president who is a lame duck, go to try and help get his or her successor elected? And when does the use of official resources on behalf of these activities become a problem? Air Force One is a very expensive aircraft to operate. There's the Secret Service detail, the helicopters, the limos, tens of millions of dollars whenever the president travels, even within the United States.
We've got more, ladies and gentlemen. Pete Sepp on your radio, NTU, National Taxpayers Union, NTU.org. In seconds, the scandal continues to rise to the level of who knows what. Will it be the biggest scandal in history, like Donald Trump says? Only time will tell.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
So far, the mainstream press, Associated Press, and many others have been pushing for information via FOIA requests and others to get the pay dirt on Hillary and crew and their corruption. We need subpoena power and a grand jury to get this done. No doubt about it. Where's Congress? They're simply missing in action, sad to say. But there's a headline that Pete Sepp referred to. Hillary Clinton's State Department. Their oversight was toothless and laxed, says National Review. But it gets worse, because DailyCaller.com writes, Clinton's State Department blew $6 billion in contracts. And this gets kind of crazy, Pete, because when you dig into this, you find out that, hey, there's fraud potentially involved. There's all kinds of loss to the taxpayers. There's documents missing in files. It sounds to me like, you know what? It's almost like Watergate. Is it going to be the cover-up that takes her down? Do you believe this will take her down? Is Hillary too Teflon? Or at some point, I believe our nation's corrupt, and that's why the bar is so high to stop corruption these days. However, I still believe the American people at some point will say, enough is enough. What do you think, Pete?
Well, the trust factor is ranging very high right now, and I think that there are a lot of people who are saying we've got to do better and hold politicians more accountable. I think you're right. We've had a much higher tolerance for this kind of thing, but in the current presidential race, when you look at trust, that issue ranks pretty much near the top among voters in their decision on who to vote for. But I see more and more in polls, it seems like people are trying to decide who is better to vote against. There seems to be very little enthusiastic support for either Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump, and merely support for the other candidate because they dislike the one.
Do you think there'll be accountability here?
It's very difficult to imagine that Congress will do much in this fall election season. I mean, you can think of one practical reason, which is these lawmakers are themselves on the campaign trail. They're not going to have more than a couple of weeks in a short session that begins September 15th to actually cast any votes. Certainly there could be committee investigations, but if something like a resolution of censure or some other contempt of Congress resolution that they'd want to put to a vote were to occur, they have very little time to do that before the election.
Yeah, here's the problem, though. If Hillary does not get elected and Donald wants to, they could push hard for real accountability then after the elections. But the problem is, if Hillary gets elected, you'll never get her.
Yeah. Right. That will be...
I mean, what are you going to do? Just indict a sitting president? I don't think it'll fly. If it didn't fly before the election, unless there's some startling evidence that comes out after that and takes her down. But then what you have is you have Tim Kaine, the president, right?
Yes. And and so this is a very difficult situation. And unfortunately, we've had warnings of many of these problems for quite a long time. You know, Senator Chuck Grassley from Iowa has actually been very, very diligent in saying that, look, we needed an inspector general in place at the State Department, not some temporary holdover who really wasn't interested in doing the job. He was saying that in 2011, 2012.
Yeah, but that's exactly why I say that I think that we got to tie this directly to Obama, though. It happened on his watch with a huge gaping hole in his administration. Hillary ran the roost. The thought that he didn't know about it is absurd, isn't it?
Yes, and I think that there needs to be some kind of action on accountability here before this Congress ends. Otherwise, there's going to be basically a sweep under the rug effort, and whatever scandal might occur in Hillary Clinton's administration, that could be another problem for her, but many of these past incidents likely won't be.
Now, Barack Obama sent $400 million, literally almost $500 million, to Iran via a money laundering scheme. He sent an unmarked bill or airplane full of cash, bills. He sent it to Switzerland to exchange currencies because he can't, by law, send it. So he money laundered to send it, even though the Justice Department told him not to. I don't know if you want to say hostages, but certainly it was a ransom. Release people, etc. They first said, no, it's not a ransom. Then they said, well, it is, but there's other reasons, and we had to. But that's a clear violation of the law. That alone is worthy of impeachment of Barack Obama, isn't it?
Well, it kind of reminds you of the Arms for Hostages deal way back during the Reagan administration. And you wonder, does anyone really learn any lessons in Washington? Does anyone really operate on the up and up? It's incredible, this history.
Well, and that's why I say at some point, though, there will it will rise to the level of, you know what, we cannot take it anymore. And that's where I think we're getting to. Literally, when you send $400 million and put it in the hands of Iran, don't you literally just fund terrorism?
Well, Iran can certainly use it for whatever it wishes. It's not as if it has a contract and grant website like USAspending.gov where people can access the flow of money. You can't really even do that here in the United States, which has a much higher level of fiscal transparency. Things still fall through the cracks. We still, on an almost daily basis, get a report from an IG, Inspector General Office, or GAO, or Congressional Research.
When does this rise to the level of treason, though? If you got a pay-to-play scheme going on, and literally when it's tried to be investigated by the FBI, the Justice Department says, stand down, FBI. Don't investigate it anymore, says Loretta Lynch. Bill meets Loretta on the tarmac so no one can hear what they're talking about. Literally, Barack sends $400 million to the hands of terrorists. At what point do you say it starts to rise to the level of treason? Well, and I know that's a word nobody wants to dare touch, but you can't avoid this discussion.
Well, we can't avoid the discussion over impropriety and lack of checks and balances. I mean, those are all legitimate questions.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, there it is. I don't know where this is going to go, but I'm telling you right now, when you have the president literally send a ransom payment of $400 million in unmarked bills against the Justice Department's advice, knowing that it's breaking the law, then you have Hillary literally taking money from hundreds of people that got access and paid money. I mean, if I'm a mortgage broker, I'm not even allowed to let you take me out to lunch because it might be a conflict of interest. I don't know if you know that, Pete Sepp.
Wow.
But if I'm a mortgage broker, and let's say you're a title company or something, I can't even buy you lunch because they say I'm trying to procure business from you in a conflict of interest type way. It's gift giving. You can't do it. It's that blatant that we see here. And when you look at that, at some point, you got to say, we can't stand this for another minute, sir.
Well, and it is rather strange, isn't it, that the more powerful the figure, and this is always, not always, but often in the highest ranks of Congress and the executive branch, where the rules just seem to be set aside and some clever lawyer, if there's a scandal that erupts, gets the politician out of hot water. I mean, I don't think that all the ethics rules are necessarily a good idea. They ought to be reformed, but if they're in place, the people who put them in place ought to follow them.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Pete Sepp with us. When we get back, I want to talk about taxes. Hillary tried to derail this discussion. And talking to about 500-plus small business leaders, except they weren't too happy at the end. We'll talk about it. Pete Sepp, NTU.org, Liberty Roundtable, live.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With news this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Democratic Congressman Ted Lieu of California, a colonel in the Air Force Reserves, is trying to stop Washington from providing financial and material support to Saudi Arabia's continuing onslaught in Yemen. A Saudi-led coalition is battling Houthi rebels who overthrew a Sunni monarch that had been installed and supported by Riyadh. Representative Liu has condemned the campaign as indiscriminate killings that look like war crimes and points out that children as young as 8 years of age have been killed in recent airstrikes. By assisting Saudi Arabia, the United States is aiding and abetting what appears to be war crimes in Yemen, Liu declares, urging the Obama administration to stop enabling this madness now. Unfortunately, Liu told The Intercept, many in Congress have been hesitant to criticize the Saudis' operational conduct in Yemen. A private, multinational advocacy group called the Arms Control Coalition has accused the U.S., Britain, and France of violating the 2014 Arms Trade Treaty by selling weapons to Riyadh that have been used in attacks on civilian targets. More than 8,000 civilians have been killed in the ongoing conflict in Yemen, at least 3,000 of them children. The human rights organization Amnesty International has condemned Saudi Arabia for what it describes as an unlawful air campaign and bombardment of civilian targets, including schools. If you want a win-win-win opportunity for patriots, think GiveMeLibertyFund.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
North Florida, North America, and YouTube Babylon, are you tired of the direction America is headed?
Yeah!
Are you fed up with all the lies and corruption in government?
Yeah!
Are you tired of the persecution of Christians and other forms of patriots?
Yeah!
Do you want to get involved in the restoration of the Republic but are unsure where to start?
Oh, yeah!
The answers to these questions and more can be found with me, your host, Kevin Blake, Saturday nights, 10 to midnight Central Time, on Liberty News Radio, for the Restore the Republic show, where I will give you all the information needed to restore the Republic. So, Babylon, grab a chair, drink of choice, and get ready to laugh, or cry, or both. Until then, get comfortably disturbed at the RestoreTheRepublicShow.com. That is RestoreTheRepublicShow.com. See you on Saturdays, Babylon.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, Hillary's latest claim, there's a lot of smoke and no fire, Pete.
There is a fire. You ask small business owners, the oppressive tax rates, the way that the IRS and other tax authorities at the state level lean on them, the compliance costs with the tax system, the death tax, which prevents business owners from passing along the hard work and the great infrastructure they've built to their heirs. These are all major concerns of business owners.
Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, we're not just talking about a political theater game here now. We're talking about business. We're talking about employees. We're talking about salaries and people's lives. This is serious business, folks, and we got to spend time on it. Hillary met with these 500 leaders. And when these 500 leaders all walked away, they said, you know, she said a lot of interesting stuff, but none of it related to really reducing regulations or lowering taxes.
Yeah, and that is the task number one of the next president. And the importance here is very simple. When the tax system itself becomes so complex that the burden of just complying with it is huge in its own right, we have a problem. How huge? Well, large businesses alone have a burden of roughly $950 per employee just to comply with the federal, just the federal income and payroll tax system. That's all the paperwork, filing the returns, making sure all of the wage statements are sent out and the W-2s to employees at the end of the year or 1099s to contractors. Small businesses have a burden that's almost 50% higher than that $950. Can you imagine employing 10 people, for example, and realizing that $14,000, even $15,000 of your money is coming right off the top just for complying with federal taxes? Add in the environmental regulation.
And it's going to get worse. I don't know if you know about the new regulation to kick in right at the end of the year about employees. You got to be in a professional field or somehow qualify to get a salary. And it's set at $47,400 or something like that. Everybody else has to be paid hourly and tracked. The cost of compliance is going to skyrocket with the new regulations to kick in December as well.
Yes, and you know, this is not just something that affects for-profit concerns. My organization has to comply with those kinds of things, and we have half of an administrative person to be able to do these kinds of things. I guarantee this mandate alone is going to take up far more of his time and money than the federal government will ever get in terms of any benefit, and frankly, our employees too.
Where do we go? What do we do about this? Really, whether you like Donald or not, the difference is between Bill and Hillary's plan and Donald Trump's plan. Everybody's saying it's about the courts. It's about the courts. I agree. It's about who the next Supreme Court justices will be. That's a big point. But it's also about taxes.
Yes, and it's also, as you say, about regulations. And regulations come out of the executive branch. Congress, for all of its wailing about not giving the executive branch authority to do these things, continues to do it. We've had a Republican-controlled Congress now for several years. There was a hiatus under Nancy Pelosi, but they were controlling it several years before that. We've had legislation introduced time after time to require more consultation with Congress over rules, but we don't get it through, and we don't have a consistent monitoring system and a way of acting to restrain the executive branch. I mean, there's a regulation going out right now. We expect it to be finalized sometime around Labor Day, called the Section 385 rule, and that is supposed to restrain companies from moving overseas and taking advantage of lower taxes. Well, this rule is going to have a ripple effect through the entire industrial sector. Many large businesses who have no intention of doing what's called a tax inversion are going to face tens, even hundreds of millions of dollars in additional compliance and reporting costs. That's outrageous. The rule should be suspended in its entirety.
So do you think we'll have a direct comparison between the Donald scenario and the Hillary scenario so people can really understand, you know what, it's about the courts, it's about taxes, it's about regulations. I mean, I could go on with a couple of more tidbit items, but this economic reality, whether Donald's perfect or not, whether you say, you know what, he declared bankruptcy in the past and criticize him, or whether you say he's a great businessman, he's surrounding himself with economic people who do understand. And there'll be a tremendous difference in the tax realities, even though it may not go as far as a Ron Paul or a Rand Paul, or even be as good as maybe a Ted Cruz or somebody else's plan. The fact is, in comparison to Hillary, she's not going to give anything. And the difference should be striking, and somebody's got to highlight that, don't they?
Yes. One member of Donald Trump's team that's known very well to us is Steve Moore. I mean, I don't believe he's actually on the campaign's payroll, but he is an advisor. Steve Moore is as sharp an economist who understands supply-side economics, budgetary restraint, regulatory reductions better than anyone. Art Laffer, same way, the architect of what was called the Laffer curve, which basically shows the higher a tax rate goes, the lower your revenue might go because you're disincentivizing work and investment and all kinds of economic activity. There is one place where you can compare, of course, the spending agendas and many of the tax policies of the candidates. We've set up a website, candidatecost.org, and right on the front page you have a summary of all of the proposals regarding the federal budget of Hillary Clinton, Libertarian candidate Gary Johnson, and Donald Trump, and how much their proposals would cost taxpayers per year.
You know, I don't know if you know who the Constitution Party candidates are, but it's Darrell Cashel is presidential candidate, and Scott Bradley is vice presidential candidate. They, in my opinion, don't get any coverage. Sad to say they don't have any money. But they are going to be on 46 out of 50 state ballots. They're working on that now. It's very expensive to get on the ballot. To file to be president, ladies and gentlemen, costs probably $25,000 in filing fees across the country. And to get all that done and all the work that it takes with FedEx and signing documents with a notary and getting someone to really organize it and file on time and everything else, I submit to you that you can't even file for less than $100,000. Anyway, to make a long story short, though, I believe they have some of the most cogent reduction of tax, reducing of regulations, returning to honest money solutions in the field. Are they included at all?
We are in the process of examining their platform and, to be fair, the Green Party platform.
Good. Jill Stein and crew, right?
Jill Stein, yes. And, you know, I happen to think that even though they may not get a lot of publicity or support, many of these alternative political parties deserve examination.
And even if they don't get the coverage, what happens oftentimes, though, is they may lay the groundwork that somebody else could pick up and run with. And that's why it's important to review and analyze their ideas, because the more we do that, the greater possibility. I mean, I'll give you an example. No one discussed auditing the Federal Reserve for my whole life. When Ron Paul hit the stage at the Republican debates, that instantly changed. That's an example of what I mean.
Yes, absolutely. And now we have actually a bipartisan consensus to make sure that the Fed's finances and practices are audited in a systematic way. So, yes, that was definitely one movement of change that came not through any of the major political parties and was actually quite helpful.
One of the things that I think, and I mentioned this many times with you and I on the radio, and the reason that I'm bringing it up now is because Donald mentioned it, is why. So now it's got a little bit of wings. Republicans have talked about it forever, but it's never really been a salient point to push, but now I think it could be, is this idea about repatriating funds. There's so much money overseas that can be brought to bear to give the economy a shot in the arm, bringing money back to America, rebuilding America. Now, I don't agree with a lot of Donald's plans to have the government rebuild everything. I'm concerned about that. It's almost like the New Deal on steroids. But this idea to repatriate a lot of the money and allow Americans to get their own money back and bring it into their own country to do good at home, that, in my opinion, has real legs that could make one of the biggest differences. It would be easy to get people from the other side of the aisle on board for it. It's an idea that its time has come, sir.
Yes. Absolutely. In fact, Congress has agreed to do what's called opening a repatriation window in the past. And I think this is a logical place to start. It ought to be for Hillary Clinton, just the same as Donald Trump. But of course, her plans are basically built upon enlisting constituents for free money and rather than growing the economy and giving people an opportunity in the private sector.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you right now, there's so much that can be done for America. Little tweaks can have the biggest impact. One of them is repatriating that money. Another one is decreasing regulation. Let's talk about that a little bit more, because that's kind of a, in a way, a tax discussion, but not, right? But I think it's critical. Liberty Roundtable Live with Pete Sepp, NTU.org, in seconds.
If you're at all like me, you have a tough time remembering appointments and events. But ladies and gentlemen, I have the answer. It's a premier service on the internet called Memo to Me. It's free. You ought to try it. Now I never miss the honey-do items from my wife or the important business meetings. They have strict privacy protection. That means they will release your email address to no one ever. You will not get spam because of Memo to Me. Unmatched dependability. Ladies and gentlemen, these folks have been around since 1998, and they are absolutely up online all the time to send you your reminders and appointments. They have rock-solid reliability. They have 5 redundant internet connections, diesel-powered generators backing up the system. I'm telling you, Memo to Me is the premier reminder service on the internet. It's free. You ought to give it a try. And, oh, by the way, if you're not available at your computer to get your email reminders, they can even send a reminder to your cell phone or pager. I use MemoToMe.com daily and highly recommend it to you. MemoToMe.com. Memo to Me.
This is Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and I want to introduce you to Numana Storable Foods. This is the first brand of storable foods that I am willing to put my name behind. It's food you can trust. No GMOs, no MSG, no chemical preservatives, and no fake meat. Plus, Numana doesn't just make that claim. They back it up with independent evaluation and testing. Another thing that Numana really does that excites me is the delicious vegetarian options. If your standards are as high as mine, I can confidently tell you that Numana Storable Foods are the quality choice that you've been waiting for. Numana won't just meet your expectations, they will exceed them. And that's why we're thrilled to have the good guys from Numana joining the Power Hour family. Go to powerprepper.com and learn about Numana Storable Foods. You can also call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Numana, the storable food you'll love to eat.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, Pete Sepp, the reason I bring up regulation is because, in a way, most people might think regulation and taxes aren't related, but they're as closely related as you can get. And I bring this up because a lot of times people say, you know what, yeah, we're going to reduce regulations. But I hear a lot of general statements like that. But I don't hear a lot of facts and details that could actually make the difference. One of the things your organization does is put together some of those concrete realities of, hey, this is what's happening, this is what could be done, a lot of analytics and a lot of information that could really get put somebody's arms around what actually makes sense. I think some of the regulations relating to small business are one of the biggest keys. Jobs are created in small business. Government basically reduces regulations and gets out of the way. There's little tweaks that could make massive difference, and they're not even that controversial, right?
Absolutely so. You know, there are processes we could set up that would constantly evaluate the cost of regulation and make recommendations to reduce them. I was reminded of this in a meeting I had with the National Taxpayer Advocate of the IRS, and she mentioned in one of her recommendations to Congress, look, just tell the IRS to follow what has been statutory law since 1998 and require the IRS to produce an annual report of sources of complexity in the tax code and how to remedy them. That would be a benchmark that the agencies could use to get to work on reducing these regulatory burdens. The private sector has volunteered to do the same thing. Several of the accounting societies have said, we will go through the tax code for small business and large business even, line by line, review it every year, and have what's basically a regulatory elimination party. We're going to identify them. We're going to make suggestions for Congress and the executive branch to get rid of them. They will volunteer to do that. We should take them up on that.
Is it something that we could clearly get a plan that would be sustainable or usable? The reason I'm hesitating is I just find that every plan you bring up almost just gets so argued, so debated, so beat up that it's just like throw it on the trash heap and we can't go anywhere. How do we stop that gridlock, that idea that, oh my gosh, a Republican came up with it, can't do that. A Democrat came up with it, can't do that. Oh my gosh, it's... Is there a way to just simply sidestep a lot of that and focus on things that are just no-brainers?
Yes. I think what you do is make the process very mechanical. I think that you get professionals involved who have direct experience with the impact of the regulations as it happens to them. When you do that and you remove it from Washington, you don't necessarily appoint some member of Congress or some undersecretary or deputy assistant secretary to lead the effort. You create the panel, you get people to join it who are in their neighborhoods, who have local businesses, who are able to work together and set aside those partisan differences. They put together a report, and the report gets filtered back up to Washington. I think that's a smart way to do it. There's a process already in place called the Taxpayer Advocacy Panels. The IRS sponsors those, and they hold meetings around the country simply to talk about mundane things like, how easy are your tax forms to fill out? Are these instructions unclear? Tell us how to improve them. Those kinds of processes are where we need to start.
All right, there you have it. What about the Brexit scenario, Kurt?
Well, you know, the whole Brexit thing, at least, Pete, is pretty interesting when you look at across the pond with Britain's exit from the whole UK, what is it, UK, not UK, but EU deal. And now Trump's bringing in, at least it looks like that, Nigel, what's his name, Farage, I guess.
Yes.
Is
yes.
In fact, he opened for him in Mississippi last night.
Yeah, and so it looks like that's kind of a big hitter. He says basically you can just go at these big new, you know, big world kind of domineering types, and you can take them on, and anything is possible.
And that Brexit would be a good idea because, hey, that would get us out of these bogus blanket trade deals that are selling America down the river. We can renegotiate them on an individualistic basis, as Britain is doing. It might have some short-term blips, but long-term it'll be a phenomenal opportunity and idea. What do you say, Pete?
I think that there's a lot of work to do on making sure that both the European side and the UK side continue to benefit from trade. I don't think that it's necessarily a catastrophe. I actually knew the fellow, Matthew Elliott, who helped to organize the Yes on Brexit campaign. He used to head up an outfit called the Taxpayers Alliance in the United Kingdom, so that's where I know him from. And I think he's a pretty reasonable guy. He wasn't, not to use a pejorative term, a knuckle-dragger, somebody who didn't appreciate the value of international commerce. He simply believed that the EU structure was far too bureaucratic, could have led to multinational taxes and all kinds of detrimental effects. That doesn't mean Britain's going to close its door on trading with others. It means you've got to go through methodically, figure out what works, what doesn't, and establish those relationships. There are guys in this country, Ian Murray, for example, from Competitive Enterprise Institute, has developed a whole framework for exactly how the UK achieves Brexit without necessarily turning the entire world upside down. It can be done.
Well, and the idea that it can't be done is to deny history.
Yes. I mean, this has happened in many other instances, and we often have this sort of knee-jerk reaction or panic campaigns from those who have an interest in the status quo, and ultimately, well, people figure it out. The same was said of Proposition 13 in California, the property tax measure. Opponents of that measure and limiting property taxes, they said, well, if you pass this, we won't have fire departments, our kids will be stupid permanently, people will die in the streets, all kinds of calamity will occur. Well, Proposition 13 passed. Governments learned to live with less. The people had more control over their tax burdens, and the world did not end.
But when America was founded, we didn't have these global trade cooperatives. We individually negotiated with everybody, and it worked well. We were the economic engine of the world, sir.
It can happen, yes. And sometimes multinational agreements make sense. But that doesn't mean that you have to have a structure like the EU, which, frankly, is domineering, anti-capitalistic, and intent on expanding its own power and influence in many cases.
Well, what happens is you get government replacing government. In other words, like the United Nations, if it were to negotiate our trade agreements. The problem is it would try to be a government entity in and of itself, and that's what we've got to reject. That doesn't mean that we can't have appropriate, fair trade that makes sense. You can create win-win situations. And it seems to me most importantly to understand is just because we don't want to be part of a union or a global trade, something, that doesn't mean that we're isolationists, and that's the other lie they tell.
Oftentimes, yes. You can very easily see instances post-Brexit where the UK would negotiate common market agreements with individual nations or even clusters of European nations on certain things. And that's where the European common market was coming into place anyway. And the common market functioned very well without a multinational supranational parliament located in Brussels.
Now, do you think that the debates between Hillary and Donald, do you think they'll explain a lot of this reality and kind of the divisions between the two so the Americans can clearly see what would make sense for them?
Well, there are only a few debates among them scheduled so far in late September and early October, plus I believe one debate among the vice presidential candidates. I'm not sure how deeply they'll get into these topics. I hope they do, because so far we've seen not enough detail on either candidate's part.
I think it's a real opportunity for Donald to flat out school Hillary. All he's got to do is stand by free market principles, less regulations, lower taxes, and be solid in his discussion point. And when they say, how are you going to pay for it? When you repatriate that money, remember, when a dollar gets spent in America, if it just goes overseas, it's gone. But if it gets spent in America and stays in America, it gets spent over and over and over. If you're talking about billions of dollars of repatriated money or even trillions, you could literally pay for everything if you cut expenditures at the same time without debate.
That's right. There are plenty of places to reduce expenditures rationally and return the government to constitutional parameters.
Ron Paul hit on all cylinders when it came to a lot of this. He would get rid of a lot of the foreign aid. He would start by not choking off the American people and create crises, but he would simply say, look, we just can't be the world's piggy bank anymore, and we'll start there. Sounds like a sound place to start for anybody, as long as we keep America's defenses intact to preserve the greatest country on the face of the earth. It isn't about America only, but it is about America first. Not that we think so much of ourselves to be first, but you can only take care of people. Others, when you have your own house in order, Pete.
Yes.
All right. Any quick last 30 seconds?
Taxpayers have it within their power to determine the outcome of this election. If they get informed and stay informed, visit NTU.org. We've got a ballot measure guide coming out on issues at the state and local level that taxpayers will get to vote on directly.
Thank you, sir. Godspeed.
My pleasure.
Pete Sepp, NTU.org, ladies and gentlemen, hit it out of the park as he always does. LibertyRoundtable.com, this nation shall endure.